You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, August 16th, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Biden to sign the Build Back a Bit bill, climate, health care, big expenditures, maybe a half a sandwich. Probably closer to a quarter of a sandwich. It's also primary day in Alaska and Wyoming as Liz Cheney winds down her congressional career. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani is told he is a target of the Georgia Trump election influence investigation. Lindsey Graham told by a federal judge, you need to testify in that investigation. DOJ is fighting the release of an affidavit that led to a warrant to search Mar-a-Lago for those stolen documents. Top Trump Inc. executive Alan Weisselberg nearly cut a plea deal, may have by now, but supposedly no cooperation on the other Trumps. Republican and National Senate Reelection Committee slashes TV ad buys in four Senate races. And with the New York primary 1 week from today, Chuck Schumer backs Gerald Nadler over Maloney in New York's 12th congressional district. Corporate lawyer Goldman leads Yulin Niu in New York's 10th congressional district. And Nomi Konst has dropped out of her race in the 59th senatorial district state Senate race. Endorsed is Kristen Gonzalez. And for the first time since 1974, Louisiana, now without any abortion clinics in the entire state. The Iran nuke deal getting closer to being closed. And Amazon workers walk off the job at a major hub in California. And lastly, Scotland now offers period products for free. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. Emma out with COVID. She's sick, but not super, super sick, but she's had a fever. I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but I'm not going to get too deep. Well, I don't have too many details. She's got a fever. She had a fever for a couple of days. Tired. She'll text one word, fall asleep, and then I'll get another text, like literally the next word in the sentence, like an hour later.
That's what's nice about having an illness is you can just get the text later. Yeah.
And you also don't have to text on time.
Leave people on read.
Is that?
You know what that means? When you can see people have read your message, but they still don't respond to it.
Yeah, but I don't have read receipts on my texts anyways. I don't.
But people say it even if it's not like people are like, oh, he left me on read if like he just didn't answer.
You kind of know. It's kind of implied. Even without having the receipts on.
I got to be honest with you. There are hours and hours when I text. And here's the worst part. When people text me during the show, and I just like flip it out of the way, it gets unread, and then I forget that they texted me, and then I mean, that's what happens to me all the time. Yep. I don't understand why they can't have mark the text unread, like they do for email. Yeah. It's the most obvious feature you would want to remind you. So I leave a bunch unread so that I can remind. Like I'm going on vacation, and I'm supposed to bring a Monopoly game. My sister told me bring Monopoly so that she can play with Saul. But I'll forget it if I don't leave it unread, and then I can't read any of the other texts from her.
Yeah, it's instead surveillance for other people instead of a useful feature for you to keep track of stuff.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I really don't get it. Someone just asked, what kind of lingo are your kids using these days? Any use of bet or cap? I think I've heard bet. I don't know if I've heard cap. And then I've heard, there's a bunch of stuff. I can't even remember because it didn't make any sense in the context. Miles is using words that I just, like, no idea.
I think either Owen Troy or Jack Posobiec used cap incorrectly recently. It was very funny. They said someone was no cap.
Yeah, right. That's, you don't describe.
Oh, wait, I've heard that. Cap. I've heard cap.
Yeah, yeah. It means lying.
Meanwhile, we have some interesting examples of people using language incorrectly in a congressional race that we will get to in a bit. But first... apparently, the Department of Justice has returned Donald Trump's passports. They took them in the search of the home. And this is, I guess, fairly standard operating procedure. They take stuff that isn't part of the warrant, and then they return it. And I think there's actually a separate squad of people. And they'll do this also with legal documents between lawyers. They'll have the people who go in, grab everything, separate group from the people who investigate, and then a separate group of people who will assess the stuff that has been taken from the place that's been searched and assess whether it comports with the warrant or not and whether it should be excluded. And so they've returned him his passports. But here is Donald Trump. He's released another statement on Truth Social. Look, despite the fact that he releases it on Truth Social, it's rarely the truth. But just in the same way you look at art, and art tells the truth with a lie, so too must you read Donald Trump's statements to get a sense of what's going on. Rachel Campos Duffy went on with Fox's Fox Business, I think, Stuart Varney, and broke down what was going on with these with this statement.
Ease tensions after the raid. Here's what he told Fox: "I will do whatever I can to help the country, because the temperature has to be brought down. If it isn't, terrible things are going to happen." That's quite a change in tone for our former president, isn't
it? Pause it for 1 second. Actually, I mean, it's really not really a change in tone, is it? It is a veiled threat. And in fact, in some ways, it's ginning up violence in and of itself. It's saying, unless you stop investigating me, things are going to get ugly around here.
This is very like Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. Like, oh no, it's fine. But right. Like, but we'll kill you if you want.
Exactly. This is a barely veiled threat. We should say another guy, this time in Pennsylvania, arrested for threatening the FBI. And look, this is the business the FBI is in on some level. So they're, it's problematic, but it is not as dangerous as it's going to be get at one point. But again, Stuart Varney sees the sweetness in the I want to turn the temperature down.
Yeah, you know, like those phrases, lipstick on a pig or polish a turd.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Continue.
He says, Trump is saying that he is trying to ease tensions after the raid. Here's what he told Fox: "I will do whatever I can to help the country, because the temperature has to be brought down. If it isn't, terrible things are going to happen. That's quite a change in tone for our former president, isn't it?
Yeah, there does need to be a toning down. But the way to bring the temperature down is for the other side, for Democrats, to admit that what they did was unconstitutional.
Or at least show us why. Show us the affidavit and why you went into this thing.
Okay, pause it for 1 second. So Varney won't go with Rachel Campos Duffy on her journey down, what do you call it? Some type of like anti-civics, essentially. It was not unconstitutional. There was a warrant. It was very constitutional. It was about as constitutional as it gets. In fact, I would probably imagine that every aspect of that search for those documents was one of the most, every I was dotted, every T was crossed.
Yeah,
I would bet that as far as like on the constitutional scale of search warrants, that one's probably pretty high.
And not by Adam Schiff, but by like FBI agents.
Exactly. We should say Republican-led agency. Appointed by Donald Trump. So I don't know what she means by Democrats, but and then Varney changes it to give us the underlying affidavit thing. Go.
Why is they know this is a political vendetta. The only way to bring this country together is to bring us back to what we were, which was a country that had equal justice. Can I just say for a second?
Please.
Imagine for a second if this had happened to Barack Obama, if his home had been raided, if Michelle Obama's closet had been raided. Think about what the left did in terms of riots and violence over George Floyd. It would be double that for the first black president. There is a double standard on the way Donald Trump is treated. And what the American people are saying is it's not just Trump in his orbit. They're coming after me. And that is why people are at this point. This is the Rubicon that's crossed. This is very dangerous territory we're in. And the only way to lower that temperature is for the left to look in the mirror and say, my goodness, what are we doing to this country for the sake of power and ideology? It's wrong.
They're not going to do that. And the temperature is not going to come down. That's my opinion. Yep.
Wow. I mean, I don't know how more racist she could get.
I know.
That description.
Like, I can't. The whole thing of he'd be a double George Floyd if Obama got rid of. Like, what are we
first
talking
black
about?
President. I mean, I think had Barack Obama had a history of prior to being president, had a history of running with the DOJ and with the gaming commissions and this and that. And had he announced his candidacy saying, you know, I'm sure Canadians are nice people or for that matter, Mexicans are nice people, but they're rapists. And then continue to have scandal after scandal. People forget this. I mean, was it like a dozen people had to quit his administration in the first year because of just outright scandal?
Yeah. Can you imagine if Maggie Haberman reported Obama plugged a toilet with papers?
Oh my God.
It would be the biggest thing in right-wing media in history.
It'd be crazy. But let's address this question about showing the underlying affidavit that was filed to get the warrant. Why don't you do this if you are the DOJ? Well, we don't know exactly their reasons, but we know. Let's just start with the most generic reason. And for that, we can't go to Fox Business News, of course. But let's go to one of these left-leaning shows, that being Fox and Friends in the morning. Here is Steve Ducey, of all people, explaining to a sitting senator why you don't release the underlying affidavit in this instance.
Merrick Garland refuses to cooperate in releasing all the information necessary to understand what happened.
Well, the senator knows that in a criminal investigation like this, they don't release it until they've figured out whether or not somebody's going to be charged or not. And if they're not charged, they don't release it so that they do not unfairly tarnish the reputation of an innocent person.
There you go. Listen, when Steve Ducey has to school you on these things, you know you have a problem.
And these are not things that Republicans don't know. It's just like procedural things that they're used to make, you know, a talking point for the day.
Further, the Justice Department, in making their case to keep the affidavit private in federal court in Southern Florida, because the Times and other news organizations want to make the public make the affidavit public. They said that its release would, quote, compromise future investigative steps and, quote, likely chill cooperation with witnesses. So they are essentially hinting at what I think most people had concluded was that there's somebody within the Trump organization, at least an individual within the Trump organization, or Mar-a-Lago. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's, I mean, if it's just somebody who works like, you know, as a waiter or behind the bar or bar back or something like this, and they saw these documents, there's a real problem here, right? People get that. That these documents were unsecured enough so that like somebody working at Mar-a-Lago stumbled across them.
You can just put that McDonald's bag on top of those boxes over there.
Or it's someone within his family or somebody who works for him who has access and knowledge of these, you know, hidden 12 boxes. And remember, they gave 15 up earlier and then they kept another set. Always have two sets. You give them the dummies and then the dummies walk away and you keep the goodies.
I thought you meant all of the 13 that we gave you back.
And if it's compromising a continuing investigation, it suggests that whatever sources they've been using, there's more stuff. And releasing the affidavit could harm other high-profile investigations as well. We don't know if those investigations deal with people like Giuliani or associates or, I don't know, Devin Nunes or what. I mean, you know, we could speculate. Like, why did Trump keep these things? It could be just because he was sentimental. Could be because he forgot. I mean, put aside just the question as to whether or not they were unclassified or whether he was allowed to take, like, why did he keep these boxes? I don't think Donald Trump would sell them, do you? Or use them as some type of, like, insurance policy so he didn't get charged with something? Or
I'm sure there's a reasonable answer.
But if he was going to sell them, if he was going to use them as some type of like insurance policy, there would other people would be involved. And maybe the investigations are on that. So, but I don't know. Maybe we need to let the temperature down or bad things could happen. Folks, word from our sponsor. If you are a business owner, the last thing you want to do this summer is sort through tons of unqualified candidates' resumes when you could be redoing your deck or relaxing in the pool. I mean, I would like a pool. I mean, I wouldn't want to care for it, but
seems like a lot of work.
It seems like a lot of work, but I wouldn't mind swimming in a pool. That would be fun. Frankly, I would just like to be napping. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you'd rather be doing. The bottom line is you need ZipRecruiter to find great candidates. They do all the work for you. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/majority. And what have I told you folks for years now? ZipRecruiter has been advertising with us, I think, for like 4 or 5 years. I don't remember when it was that we hired Brendan, but we had been advertising for ZipRecruiter for probably a year, whatever. Brendan was the first hire. since we had ZipRecruiter, and I found him through ZipRecruiter. It was super, super easy. This is a task I don't like to do. But ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates for your job. Makes it super easy to review the recommended candidates, organize all the candidates you have, set up interviews, invite your top choices to apply. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy to filter those and rate your candidates, do all the work there. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. We had a lot of quality candidates, I have to say. But Brendan was just like, he came in and he was like a built in a Petri dish. And they went out and found him. So, folks, soak up all the summer that summer has to offer and let ZipRecruiter do the work. You ready for the URL? It's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's where you can try it for free. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/majority, M-A-J-O-R-I-T-Y, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And don't forget, as I always say, the best time to start your search when you don't need to hire somebody. Biden's going to be signing the Build Back a Bit bill today. We've gone through those provisions. If you missed the conversation we had with David Dayan on Friday, it's worth a listen to. There are good provisions in this bill. There are good provisions that are poorly executed in this bill. There are some bad provisions in this bill. The worst of the provisions may be in this side deal that Manchin forged with Chuck Schumer. And increasingly, it looks like that side deal may not happen. Lindsey Graham has sort of signaled his refusal to do it. Anybody who's running for re-election in the Republican Party is not going to do it. I would bet they wouldn't sign on to it. Certainly before, if they're running for re-election in 2022, maybe even 2024. And there could be a significant number of progressives in the House who sink this bill. So, I don't know. Some of the worst provisions may not be in there. The one of the things that'll be interesting to watch in terms of its impact is the 1% tax on stock buybacks. Supposedly will bring in about $7.5 billion a year over the next 10 years. It comes in the wake of the S&P 500 index buying a record amount of their own stock last year, $882 billion. What I don't understand is, and maybe, you know, this is a perfect example of, I think, frustrations that people have with the Democrats and the way that they approach these things. Is it good to buy to tax stock buybacks? Yes. But what would be better is to order your agency, the SEC, to reverse the decision that they made under Reagan that allowed for stock buybacks. Prior to, what was it, 1982, I think it was, stock buybacks in this country were illegal. They were considered stock manipulation. It is a pump and don't dump scheme. And you had two things that happened simultaneously, or almost simultaneously. One, you had this mechanism for a company to increase the value of their stock by taking their own money and buying their stock. Increases the value of their stock for their shareholders. Instead of that money going to workers, instead of that money going into long-term capitalization, buying new machinery, improving their technology, increasing productivity, research, whatever it was, it just goes to getting value to the shareholders. And the other thing that is warped about this is during that time, too, there was a change in our tax structure. Like this happened maybe in 86, where capital gains got favorable tax treatment relative to wages. The theory was we want people to invest in things, and then we reward them because they took this risk with lower taxes on their profits. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a factory that's going to help this town that's struggling. And it's going to hire people. And when I get the profits off of that, as a shareholder, as the main shareholder, we're going to give you treat that tax preferentially. Except for in the vast majority of instances, none of that happens. What happens is I bought some stocks. They went up. My buying the stock didn't do anything for that company in terms of like helping workers or anything like that. And then that stock, I make $100,000. Instead of that $100,000 being subject to income tax rates or wage rates, Social Security tax, Medicare, it has a reduced tax rate. And the big problem was when companies started paying their CEOs, their CFOs, and everybody in the C-suite, their board of directors, with stock. Because pay me in stock. When I sell it, I'll pay less of a tax rate than I would if you paid me as a salary. And then the problem becomes, well, wait a second. I've got a bunch of stock in this company that I'm the CEO of. That's my payment. And all of a sudden, this guy's got a cottage industry, which has nothing to do with the long-term stability of the company, has nothing to do with the long-term stability of the workforce. It has to do with the value of those stocks on the day they vest in that CEO's account. And so if that CEO goes in and says, like, you know what, I can cut the workforce by 10, 15%. We can still put out this product. Over time, the quality of it will deteriorate. We can avoid investing in new machinery. That won't be a problem for 5 or 10 years from now. We can buy back our stocks, and the value of the stock goes up. Over a certain period of time, it vests, where the CEO's getting it on a yearly basis, and they're making money hand over fist. And all the board of directors have no problem with it because they're also paid in stock. And nobody in the C-suite has a problem because they're all paid in stock. And this is where we are at. Bill Lozonik from UMass. I think he's still a professor there. He's written about this extensively. It really is worth checking out.
Wasn't there some CEO or some guy, it was like a Bloomberg talk, but he asked a crowd of businessmen or investors, how many of you reinvested your buybacks? I'm trying to remember who that was.
Yes. And it was, and everybody, and he was shocked. I think it was the Commerce Secretary at the time under the Trump administration.
Mnuchin?
I think it was Mnuchin or it could have been
Wilbur Ross.
Not Wilbur Ross. Oh. It wasn't the Commerce Secretary. It was either Mnuchin or the first guy from Goldman Sachs. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. But he went up there, and maybe it was Mnuchin, I think it was, though. And now that I think about it, how many of you are reinvesting your money? None. Why would we do that? We, you know, there's still this sort of myth in this country of like the company man from the 50s. And I do mean man who, you know, I'm doing this for the company. I'm going to work at this company for 25, 30 years. And it's like our society has either purposefully or for whatever reason not caught up to the clue that these CEOs don't give a F about their company except for its ability to put money in their pocket. Period. And the best way to put money into your pocket is to get your stock numbers up and cash in on that. And then your taxes are low, too. It was Gary Cohn, I guess it was. Thank you. I am her.
Was it any NEC director, yeah.
No, he was not the NEC, was he?
Yeah, because Mnuchin was the only...
Mnuchin was the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was the NEC. I can't remember. Yep. Gary Cohn. Okay. All right. Well, that's I got on a tangent there, but that was that is part of this bill as well. So, I mean, it's all well and good to tax the stock buybacks to discourage it, but there's another way you could discourage it. Make it illegal. The way it was before Ronald Reagan. All in all, not a bad thing to have this bill pass, certainly, but woefully insufficient and also, you know, kludgy in that sense. 1% stock buyback. Now, I'm also clear that there was a different stock that was going to supposed to be going in there. That was to keep hedge funders. And the way that hedge funders, this is the carried interest loophole, they call it. I mean, I don't know why you call it a loophole. But it's structured so that if I have a hedge fund where I go around to all my buddies, Bradley, give me $10 million. I only allow people with $10 million to invest in my thing. Matt, $10 million. Emma, $10 million. I control $30 million. Of course, the numbers are actually much bigger than this. But I control $30 million. I invest that. And my salary is a function of what we invest and the returns. Both. And I get capital gains on that, even though that's not my money. I just directed where they invest. But I get taxed as a capital gains tax there. Why is that? Just because. They got the money, and they donated it to people. Kristen Sinema, I think, got an extra $1 million in fundraising, didn't she? Here's that Gary Cohn thing. This is actually worth watching. Watch this. This is back with the Trump tax cuts, and Gary Cohn, under the impression that they're going to, this is going to be rolled back into business. This is, I mean, think about how insane this is. This guy is the chief advisor on the National Economic Council and has absolutely zero understanding of the incentive structure of CEOs in this country. Do you understand how just jaw-dropping? Like, this should have been everywhere. Watch this. He's out of Wall Street. Go ahead.
You all a quick question. If the tax reform bill goes through, do you plan to increase investment, your company's investment, capital investment, just a show of hands, if the tax reform goes through? Okay.
Why aren't the other hands up?
Why aren't the other hands up?
John, I've got a question for Gary quickly.
Oh, can I ask you all a quick question?
Yeah, so the reporter asked everybody, and like one or two guys maybe put up their hands. And Gary, why aren't the other hands up?
A few doing the mid.
I wonder if that's like a question that just echoes in his head until he dies. Why aren't the other hands up? Aren't the other hands up? Are they shy? Are these titans of industry shy?
Acting like me in like a class where I haven't done the reading.
Exactly. Anyway, so that's the tax structure that we have there. What else did I want to go on there? Let's keep that in mind, because one of the things that they did in this tax deal during the Trump years was to bring down the taxation costs, right? The taxation level of money that was made overseas and repatriated to the United States. This is money that had been basically sidelined since 2004, I think it was, or five. After World War II, I think it was Truman who basically said, we're gonna cut American companies. We're going to try and incentivize American companies as part of the Marshall Plan, or sort of like, not specifically the Marshall Plan, but part of the same idea. Incentivize American companies to do business overseas. And so we're going to give you a tax break. If you bring, you can repatriate profits from overseas at a discounted rate, then it can come back into this country. And this went on for, gosh, I can't remember how many years this was. And at one point, I think it was, you had companies, as the tax rate went back up, maybe during the Clinton years, I think it was, tax rates go back up, they started to hoard money overseas. They would just leave it there in the bank. It's almost like, I don't know, you have like a crypto account and you don't convert it into U.S. dollars, and so you don't have to pay taxes yet. Or you have unrealized stock gains, except for there's no risk associated with this because the money's just sitting overseas. And it's in dollars. And the idea was, oh, if we give them a tax break and they repatriate this money, they'll put it into the higher people. I want you to remember that, because it was a question asked of Karine Jean-Pierre by John Carl. Not an illegitimate question, although one I'd never heard asked during the Bush years. And I will make it clear why I was talking about that repatriation of tax dollars. Because the last time it happened was under the Bush administration, prior to it happening under the Trump administration. You see the pattern. They wait for a Republican. They did it under the Bush years. But let's hear this question of Karine Jean-Pierre by John Carl. This was on Sunday's This Week.
But let me ask you, it's called the Inflation Reduction Act. But the Congressional Budget Act Office, which is nonpartisan, said that there would be a negligible impact on inflation this year and barely impact inflation at all next year. I mean, isn't it almost Orwellian? How can you call it Inflation Reduction Act when the nonpartisan experts say it's not going to?
So I appreciate that. I appreciate the question. We've actually addressed this, the CBO. It was the top line number. There's more in there that shows that it will have the money from. Remember how we're doing this, too. It's making sure that billionaires in corporate America are paying their fair share, making sure that it's that the tax code is a little bit more fair. And so when you do that, when you put it in its totality, you will see that it will bring down, lower the deficit, which will help fight inflation.
I am shocked at her response. Maybe it never occurred to anybody. I mean, it is a joke to call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Although it's also smart, because the fact of the matter is that I don't think there's anything that you can do fiscally to reduce inflation other than, you know, price controls. And theoretically, I guess you could say if we increase the number of electric vehicles, then the price of fuel will go down long term, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you could make a case if you wanted to make the case. And, it just seems to me you could have a better answer than that. But from my perspective, good. If we have to call every bill that deals with anything to do with climate or caps drug prices at $2,000 for Medicare patients annually, or allows Medicare to negotiate drug prices, or maintains the subsidies on the ACA, all the good things that this does. If we have to, I don't care what we have to call it. There is, if you go back and look at the bills that were signed by George W. Bush. Now, there was nothing passed during the Trump years except for a tax cut for wealthy people. I don't think they called it the tax cut for wealthy people. They called it some other stuff.
It was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Right. Right. In 2004, October 22, the American Jobs Creation Act of 2004 was a bill that allowed for foreign profits made by these companies that have been keeping these profits offshore, waiting for a George W. Bush or a Donald Trump or some other Republican to come in and give them a discount with no strings attached. And they call it the American Jobs Creation Act because it was going to create jobs. They're going to take these trillions of dollars that have been offshored. They're going to bring it back into this country, and they're going to create jobs. Because of the mentality that if you lower taxes, businesses are just going to hire more people. As if businesses hiring more people is not a function of more demand. It's just that if I have more cash, I'm going to hire more people. There was not only was there not a single job created from the trillions of dollars that were brought in at a completely reduced, I think it was dropped from like 20% to 5%. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. Brought back into this country. You can go back. HP, one of the biggest pushers of this. As soon as this passed, they cut 14,000 jobs. And that story was told over and over again. And I do not remember a single person in the mainstream media saying, American Jobs Creation Act, isn't this just a tax cut?
Hello, George Orwell.
Yeah. Isn't that a little Orwellian?
You could look at all of these things. No Child Left Behind. Where's this Clean Skies? What was that one? I'll tell you, the Clean Skies Act, I'm trying to find where that was. They called it the Clean Skies. Or the Healthy Forest Restoration Act of 2003, I can tell you, allowed for more logging. There was a Clean Skies...
The Clear Skies Initiative?
Clear Skies Initiative. You know what the Clear Skies Initiative did under the Bush administration? It forced states that had high standards for how much mercury you could put into the air to drop those standards. California literally had to allow more mercury in the air by companies to comport with that new federal law, the Clear Skies Initiative.
So, Sam, you're saying it wasn't the most significant step America has ever taken to cut power plant emissions, as the press release surrounding the bill
said? No, it was not. I just don't remember anybody saying Orwellian at that time, unless they were like, I don't know,
also like
on Air America.
Orwellian doublespeak is like the opposite. So the Inflation Reduction Act having a negligible impact on inflation, that's not quite Orwellian. If it had a big impact in the opposite way of creating inflation,
right,
of increasing inflation, that would be Orwellian.
But let's not get picky. Let's not get picky about that. But I just thought, it's a legit, the whole inflation thing, I still contend, is the way that we're going about this, complete joke. And I think we're starting to see prices start to level off and maybe prices come down. In part, it'll be a function because we just destroyed the housing market. The Fed did. Which is the last thing we need in terms of rents are out of control. The prices of houses are dropping now because interest rates are so high. But the problem is we're not building new houses. And so rents are going to continue to go up. We never recovered from the loss of housing in 2008 in the financial crisis. But everything else, lumber's going down in price, and that was going down before these interest rates hikes. Oil is down below $100 a barrel. And we can see that our inflation is somewhere, I don't know, in the middle of where the world's inflation is, which continues to, I think, show that the problem is supply lines. We're still disrupted from COVID. That doesn't mean that the inflation isn't felt by folks. But when you have record profits for every single oil company, it seems like there's some room to provide relief to consumers if government wants to really address it. And the way you address it is price controls. It's price controls. There's no reason why there should be anybody making record profits at a time of inflation that is causing the Fed to essentially discipline labor. This is a policy choice. This is, and it's a choice to do explicitly that. Discipline labor, not discipline capital. End of story. If you want to get, if Jonathan Carl really wants to start digging in on the Orwellian aspects of this, that's the part. How is it possible that we have record gas prices, but these oil companies are making so much money, record-breaking profits? How is that possible? How is it that it's just so, the prices are so out of control? They can't even, it is time to nationalize the refineries.
Yeah, and even like short of nationalization, like the windfall profits thing, like that should just be automatic. Because, I mean, think of like $100+, however much it would mean for everybody who gets that check. But also, that's all that money that this, frankly, world-destroying industry has to play with.
That is, we should have as an automatic stabilizer of sorts, windfall profits tax that just kicks in automatically. Just take this right off the top, plow it back into to mitigating the damage you're doing with the profits you're making. Understand, this is all they are doing. The profits are coming at the expense of the world and humanity, period. Like literally, they are offloading the costs that are associated with this.
And using it to fortify themselves.
We just spent $350 billion to mitigate the damage of corporations that are making record-breaking profits. That is just simply a transfer of wealth. That's what that is. I mean, people talk about redistribution. That's what's going on here, folks. It's just that there's like a slight middleman. Instead of like us handing the money directly to them, we put our hand through a curtain. They put their hand through a curtain and then we put it in there, but we can't see that part. It's like a glory hole of sorts. I am a Roni fan. Hey, Sam, I work in construction. Let me tell you, things are going to be rocky for years to come. The supply chain was decimated during COVID. People don't realize there are huge monopolies on raw materials and component parts. An example, when buying a door, the door slab is stocked and ready, but only 2 to 3 companies control the hinge screw market, and they're all based in China. So are their raw material suppliers. The U.S. needs to build things here, not only grow jobs, but to stabilize markets. That was the best thing that's happening in terms of this bill. And that's why, you know, people who talk about this bill intelligently see it as an industrial planning bill where we are creating not a market here, but actually production here in some of these industries. And that's super important. All right, what else did I want to talk about? You know, anything else I want to talk about, we go in the fun half. But a couple, you know what? Let me do this. There's 2 stories I wanted to do quickly. Well, No, there's more than that I want to do quickly. Shoot. I got completely sidetracked today. Quickly, Scotland is the first country to offer tampons, sanitary pads, and other menstrual products free of charge. They're free to anyone in Scotland who needs them. This is 2 years after they passed the legislation. This is according to the New York Times. They're the first country in the world to provide these products. Essentially, you know, like, I mean, on some level, it's like a sort of a Medicaid, if you will. Although I imagine you don't have to, you know, go through all the hoops and whatever. It's just you order it. In the same way they did. I mean, we know you can do this. They did it with the tests. I got probably a dozen or 10 free tests through the mail from the U.S. government. I got probably another half a dozen came home with my kids at school. This is doable. We can do it. And here's the thing. Very easy to predict how much of these products ultimately that you're going to need. Because most women need them. From, you know, preteen years through, I don't know, 30s, 40s, 50s. Into those. Most. And there's no reason why government shouldn't provide this for folks who can't afford it. Or just, you know, whatever. Just want it. People can decide whatever's more convenient for them. This is a big deal. I wanted to just touch on this as well. We have pictures of this, I think. Washington Post reports that yesterday, on Monday, dozens of employees, Amazon employees, at least 160, walked off the job at an air hub in San Bernardino, California, in the middle of their shift. This is important too, because this is one of their key sort of logistics hubs. And I don't know who it was that we spoke about this when we were talking about organizing. One of the organizers we've spoken to on a Wednesday, I can't remember. But there's two different sort of ways that strikes can be effective. One is just in terms of the sheer volume. But the other is strategic places where you can bring a company to their knees because there are certain sort of choke points. And this is one of them. There are apparently 1,500 people who work at this hub, and 160 were able to really slow down what was going on, just walking off. They are independently organized. They're essentially creating their own union. It's not clear that they're actually fully forming a union as much as they are just organized at this point. They walked off the job on Monday. They didn't return. And this is interesting. So apparently what happened, they delivered a petition to the management in July, over 800 signatures. Essentially, it was about getting better pay and better safety at the facility. Ana Ortega, this is in the Washington Post, said she hopes the San Bernardino walkout should participate and forces Amazon to stop and think about what they're doing and why. With the rising cost of everything in our lives, it's tough making ends meet. She makes $17.30 an hour. It doesn't make any sense that people who work here should be on food stamps or struggling financially. Here's the deal. The average rent in San Bernardino is $1,650 a month. So if you're a full-time Amazon hub worker, air hub worker, and you're making their starting wage of $17 an hour, you've got to pay 75% of your monthly income after taxes on rent. 75%. A living wage in San Bernardino, just a living wage. That means like You're not, you're living. You're not skipping meals. It's closer to $18.10 for someone without children, without children. We're not making enough to save anything, says Sarah Fee. She was one of the lead organizers of the Inland Empire Amazon Workers United. If something goes wrong with my car, I don't have savings. I can't afford to eat healthy food. I have to buy chicken nuggets or noodles. So they got 800 signatures from workers. They demanded a $5 an hour pay increase. Series of smaller raises with workers with specific job titles and night shifts. They also are concerned about how hot it gets there in certain months in the summer. So they delivered this petition. In response, Amazon called an all-hands-on meeting at the facility on August 3rd and 5th to address the petition. You ready? Managers had some thoughtful responses.
Well, here we go.
Managers suggested that workers save money by using public transit and enrolling in a carpooling benefits program. I mean, like,
at least it wasn't NFTs this time.
Exactly. And they also offered a $1.50 an hour raise on the weekday night shifts and $2 an hour raise on the weekend night shifts. So there you go.
Just for the night shifts, you're getting the raise?
$2 for the night shifts, $1.50 for the weekday night shifts. Well, I guess it's just the night shifts.
Hmm.
You know. That way you can make up for the fact that you're not sleeping.
It seems like less of a way to like help people out with transport and more of a way to get people to do night shifts.
Well, because there's not as much public transport or carpooling, maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
They have gotten organizing assistance and space to hold meetings from Warehouse Worker Resource Center and Teamsters Local 1932, but they are an independent union. And Fee said Staten Island was absolutely inspiring. Unionizing is not off the table for us. And just a reminder, there's a warehouse in Albany, Amazon warehouse in Albany, that I think is in the process of unionizing or attempting to. And we still don't have the results from Bessemer. I think that comes soon, right? Something to keep an eye on. But those choke points, folks, super important in terms of exercising your power of labor. What else we got? I think that's it for now. All right, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half of the program. Just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. You can help the show survive and thrive by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. When you do, you get the free half, free of commercials, and you get the fun half. The next week and a half or so is going to be a little bit jumbled. Because I'm on vacation. Bradley's gone away for a couple of days. Emma's got COVID. So you're going to get to know Matt.
I'm the rock, folks.
There he is. He's just there. He's not even going home. He's not even going home at night. He's sleeping here.
He's sleeping here. We got a couch right behind me.
He's sleeping here.
Like Eric Adams at Pearl Hall.
Set up a basketball court in the corner there, and he's just aced. He doesn't go anywhere.
Brings his PS4.
Exactly. If I hooked up the PS4 to this, would you leave? I mean, I would get rid of all this stuff in the middle.
I mean, if we could make a PS5.
Yeah. I'll get the new one.
That's the same type of negotiation I go through with Saul. I tell him, like, dude, you got to take a shower. Let me have an extra 10 minutes of iPad time. No, you get a shower. You're sweating. I took a shower yesterday. I know, but you're dirty now.
Also, they got iPads now. For me, it was like, let me stay up an extra like 10 minutes just to watch SportsCenter. But
yeah, it's kids today. Lucky. Right? I'm glad to hear you saying that, Matt. Matt, what's happening on the Matt Lekian media universe?
Brian Mayer talking about Lula, Bolsonaro, and if there's going to be some shenanigans against Lula if he wins the presidential election. Tonight, patreon.com/leftreckoning, leftreckoning.com/store to get your tank tops, tees, and hats.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920 is the number. call in. We will unleash the phones in just a moment. So if you get the voicemail, try again. And we will see you. Oh, you can IM the show by going to majorityapp.com, picking up the app. It's completely free. We have it for both iOS and Android, in the process of updating it. And you can IM the show. See you in the fun half. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. The Majority Report. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Who?
What is up, everyone? Nomi Key.
You did it. Let's go, Brandon.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women's...
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this...
Set an egg?
Yes.
Hi, me? Is this me?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you? No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go start life.
Libertarians.
They're so stupid, though.
Common sense says, of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him.
So what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge met.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say.
857-210-35-501. One half. 3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$5.43 trillion.
Sold.
It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less of
it. But let me say this.
Poop.
You can call it satire. Sam goes with satire.
On top of it all, my favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt. Hey, buddy, we see you. All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, sun's out, guns out. I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. Gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock, we're already late, and the guy's being a dick, so screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.